Welcome to the Aspiring Stylist Podcast with Tracy Franklin, where to begin, grow, and aspire to become the best stylist you can be. Whether you're thinking about becoming a stylist, opening a salon, or developing your skills as an experienced stylist, the next step of your beauty career starts here. Each week, we'll discuss strategic ways to design, plan, and execute on becoming a stylist that excels behind the chair and above the bottom line. Here's your host, Tracy Franklin.
Imagine you're able to get honest intel on the services you provide from a guest perspective. Well, you can. Every single time you sit down with a guest, you can have feedback from that guest. And feedback is super crucial, especially for new stylists. If you're still getting the hang of things, if you're still trying to figure out your path and how you want to execute your guest experience, this is really good information. This is a super formative time of your career. This is where you're, you know, creating habits, some good, some bad. So it's important to know what you're getting right and what you're getting wrong. And reviews. Like reviews from a client on any platform are really going to help you build your reputation. Getting client feedback can also help improve your skills and the services that you provide. You just need to know what questions to ask. You have to ask questions that support your brand. What questions are going to help you stand out from the rest? It's important that this feedback is honest, right? Like we only want the truth when it comes to feedback because, again, this is helping us create how we perform services behind the chair, which is something we're going to be doing for a very long time. You need to be honest with them about why the feedback is important. You need to let them know how helpful that it is. And you're only going to get clients willing to do this for you if you're building those relationships. If you're building relationships that welcome feedback, you're going to have to make them feel comfortable. And then you can always go an anonymous route. Like each guest doesn't have to be identified. You can always have some sort of survey or questionnaire in place that allows that guest to be unnamed. It's a little scary, right? Like making ourselves vulnerable. I know that a lot of stylists have common fears, and those are fears that they're not good enough, or that maybe that client won't come back and sit in their chair again. Some stylists are going to take it personal, like people don't like them as a human being. And some people just don't like hearing the truth. I've known what I like to call an overconfident stylist or two in my career, and these stylists always struggle to grow. And that's because they're not even really interested in feedback. And when they are given feedback, I don't think they give it the important consideration that they should. So let me give you some examples of constructive feedback. And notice I'm using the word feedback. I like it so much more than criticism, which has like a negative connotation about it, right? We're going to use this as data. This is feedback, right? We're not going to take it to heart. It's not going to be an emotional awareness kind of thing. This is just where we're getting important information about how we show up as stylists. And I believe the importance of this feedback has a range. So like a really simple one would be, hey, you got my color a little dark last time. Let's make sure we don't do that again. Or maybe my cut was a little too short or you left it a little too long. Those are pretty simple, right? Easy fixes. And then we have like some less simple ones. Hey, you forgot my shampoo ritual last time. This is the most favorite, the most coveted time between you and your guests. So never skip the shampoo ritual. Or maybe they say something like, hey, I had a really hard time styling my hair at home. This is a way that we don't show up for them. Making sure that they're able to recreate this fabulous new style at home is a service that we skip out on more than I personally like to take accountability for. And then there's the more complicated ones. I want y'all to listen up, okay? This one is, it cost more than I expected. First of all, this is a conversation that needs to be had during the consultation. A guest should never get up to checkout and look at the receptionist and say, whoa, what? That's unfair to the guest and it's unfair to the customer care specialist that's having to deal with this shock, okay? So when do you bring up money? When do you say, hey, this is going to cost a little more today? Well, when they're getting things they don't normally get, right? If they're getting something for the first time that they've never paid for, my balayages are $180. That's not something I'm just going to tack on without saying so. Or maybe we need to add a toner or conditioning treatment. If a client has their beauty budget down to the dime, then even something small like that is going to shock them. Maybe they're a first-time guest and they're calling the salon that you work at and they're getting a quote for your services. They say, hey, I need a partial foil and a haircut, right? Well, the customer care specialist is going to do whatever they can to get as much information as they can to book them appropriately. But guests don't know what to ask for, right? And as good as our front desk girls are, they're not perfect. So anytime you're going to stray from the appointment, anytime they booked themselves wrong because they didn't know what to ask for, it's worth a conversation. This is a big one. That's why I'm going into so much detail, is because you're going to lose clients in your career. You're going to lose a lot of clients in your career if you don't get a handle on translating additional costs to your guest. This one was really big for me. I had a client that I'd been working on for several years, and she made the comment when I became a salon owner, because I was doing her hair back in the day when I just helped manage a salon. So when I became a salon owner, there are, you know, a lot more hats that I'm wearing, right? And she was very honest with me about how distracted I was at her last few appointments. And to be honest, it wasn't even on my radar. I didn't even realize that my ability to serve her as a stylist was being affected by this important new role that I was playing. I appreciated that. I wasn't offended. I wasn't like, well, duh, I own a salon. Of course I'm distracted. Because at that moment, I was her hairstylist and I wasn't showing up strong in that role. So that was really valuable information to get from her. The truth is, not everyone's going to speak up. Not everyone is going to feel comfortable saying uncomfortable things. So you need to be really glad when they do, and you need to be showing up with listening ears. So what are signs that you're receiving genuine feedback? And what I mean by genuine feedback is, like, we're going to have those clients, right, that are going to look us right in the face and say, oh my God, I loved everything. It was so wonderful. And then they're going to go to their best friend or their sister, and they're going to talk about all the things that didn't go right. If there are any things that didn't go right, these type of people can usually find something that didn't go right. And they're going to tell you to your face that everything went well. So I think when a client is being genuine, they're going to tell you personally, not behind your back, right? So I'm going to use my complimentary arm massages as an example, right? I'm a big girl. I've got a firm touch. Well, I was giving an arm massage to a client one time and she was wincing. And I was like, oh gosh, is everything okay? And she's like, girl, you're hurting me. Other clients never said anything about that. And maybe I wasn't hurting them. But the truth was, I adapted a new part to this service ritual that said, hey, how's my pressure? I just ask a simple question. Oh, that feels great. That feels amazing. Or, oh, that's a little too, you know. Yeah, it works out well when they're willing to tell you what you need to know. I feel like if a client is being genuine, they're going to go into detail, right? They're not just going to say, hey, it was great. They're going to give you a breakdown of the things that went really well or maybe didn't. I feel like a client that's being genuine is going to give you another chance to get it right. So when is the right time to ask for feedback, right? We don't want to be too eager. So we need to look for cues throughout the appointment. During the service protocol, you need to do check-ins. And you definitely need to let them experience what you offer before you ask. Before you ask for feedback, before you ask for favors, like, hey, here are my referral cards. We want them to really be comfortable and really be happy with the service before we start asking for favors. As far as timing goes, I like to ask at the end of the appointment or even later sometimes. And that's because a guest will most likely not want to be put on the spot, right? Like, people don't like it when you just point blank look them in the eye and ask them a question. So depending on your protocol, you could let her know, hey, I'll be in touch in a few days just to check in and make sure everything's going okay. And I would like your honest feedback. This prepares them, right, for a follow-up. If I'm going to do a survey, I like to send a survey 2 to 3 days after the appointment. This is going to give a client to kind of marinate in the experience and also live in their new hair, see how they're styling at home, see how they're liking the products that you recommended. This is a really great time to do a check-in with a guest. It's not always about verbal communication. There are nonverbal cues that clients will give you regularly if you're paying attention. Is the client enjoying themselves? Is the conversation flowing? Are they laughing? Are they enjoying themselves? Do they seem relaxed? Are they comfortable and relaxed in your care? If they pre-book their next appointment, that's a really, really good sign, a nonverbal cue that lets you know you got it right. Maybe they're going to walk out the door with the products you recommended. This is a surefire sign that they trust you. Or maybe they're not doing any of this. And this is a sign that maybe you haven't built that relationship. Maybe they didn't get the experience. We need to do whatever we can to create this experience for them. Give them something to talk about. The only way to get honest feedback is for the client to feel comfortable. They need to know why this feedback is important, and you need to be honest with them. Maybe you're fresh out of school again, and you're just trying to build your brand and find your way behind the chair. Let them know this. Hey, I'm working on myself. I'm building my clientele. I would love your feedback. It's going to help me so much. They need to know how much it helps. You know, they have the ability to see this through a completely different lens. They need to feel valued in the process. They need to feel like they have a voice. If they feel like they have a voice and they feel valued, they're going to give you their all. They're going to be honest with you. They're going to give you great feedback. They're going to refer their friends and family to you. They're going to pre-book their appointments. Do you see all these wonderful career building things that happen once the client gets comfortable? It's up to us to make sure that they are able to. We don't want to ask yes and no questions. We want to ask open-ended questions that encourage detailed feedback, right? Just not a yes or no answer. So one of those questions could be, tell me about your favorite part of your experience today. That's a high, right? So we want to start on a high. And then maybe we dip down a little bit and we say, hey, what's one thing I could have done better? And then we want to add on a high again. When you're asking yes or no questions, you're never getting the whole story and you need more details. So maybe you ask them to give a numeric value to something like, hey, on a scale of 1 to 10, how did I meet your expectations today? Things like that. It's a really easy way to gauge how you did, especially for someone that's in a hurry. Ask them to describe a particular part of the service. Take them back to their favorite part of the service and have them explain it to you. Follow-up questions are great to add just to improve that feedback. So if you feel there's more to say, ask, say more about that or what else? I mean, you don't want to beat a dead horse. Again, people don't like feeling put on the spot. But if you're able to create open communication with your client and they're giving you this feedback, then yeah, make sure you're getting all of it. So how do you know if your questions are too complicated? What if they're not clear? What if they're not easy to understand? Well, your questions need to be able to be answered in 2 to 3 sentences, right? They shouldn't have to feel like they're writing an essay for every question. And then are you getting clear feedback? If their feedback is all over the place, then your questions probably aren't clear and easy to understand. So maybe your clients are being vague. Maybe they're very non-specific with their feedback, and that's okay. Not everyone will take the time to do this for you. How often do you do it for other people? Every time I go into Torrid, which is one of my favorite stores, they offer me some little discount to fill out a survey, and I've never done it. It's not that I don't care. It's not that I don't appreciate their service that they offer. It's just I'm a busy chick, right? And not everyone is going to have the time or even want to take the time to do this for you. So you need to make it meaningful to them. They need to feel like they're personally helping you out. And again, you're only going to be able to get them to do this through connection. And you have to ask. You can't just email them a survey and expect them to take the time to do that for you. You need to prepare them and ask them personally, hey, you're going to get this survey. It helps me out so much. Please and thank you. There'll be a coupon at the end. So now you have the information, right? They've given you the feedback. How are you going to use it? Well, when it makes sense, put that information to good use. If someone says you take too long, then you need to work on your speed. If your shampoo experience is lacking, then you need to step it up. Again, this is everyone's favorite part. If your prices are all over the place, then get a price sheet and post it. have those money talks with your guest. The point is to give it wings, right? Take the information that they give you and fly with it. We're not going to love every single thing that people say about us. Not all feedback is going to be positive, and we need to be paying just as much attention to that information as we do the good. Step one, make it right. Is it fixable? Is their negative feedback something that you could put an easy fix to make it right? It's worth it. Do it. Apologize. You didn't meet their expectations, and that deserves to be addressed. And then you need to offer them a reason to give you another chance. Again, connection. Make sure and exceed their expectations next time. If they give you another shot at it, don't just show up and give them what they paid for. Remember, it's not enough to just meet their expectations. That's what they paid for in the first place. That's what they were expecting in the first place. If we get another shot at it, we have to go above and beyond to truly make it right. And remember, it's not always about you. Some clients can't be pleased, and that's okay. Bless them and release them, honey. So when the feedback is positive, how are you going to use it to your advantage? For me, it's reviews. I read reviews for everything. Mascara, reviews. Lotion, reviews. I love to read reviews. I can thank my husband for that. You're going to want to ask them, hey, leave me a 5-star review. Thank you so much. We recently added a QR code that took people straight to our Google reviews. And once they completed it, they got a discount at checkout. You guys, this was mind-blowingly easy. The company sent us this little disc with our QR code. We set it right up by the credit card machine. Boom. We were getting 10 to 15 reviews every single day. And all we did was offer them $5. Or what if you took a cute pic of your guest and posted it with their review on the website? Clients love that. We had clients' pictures and reviews posted on our website for forever, and they just loved that. So how often should we be asking for reviews? How often should we be asking for feedback? We want to make sure that we're paying attention to patterns or common issues. Is more than one person complaining about the same thing? We need to see that. Depending on your platform, you could get an email every time someone leaves a review or fills out a survey. I don't know if you want to be that connected to it or not, but that is a possibility. If you're independent, this could be a really good way to stay on top of things. You could also go on quarterly and just look for those patterns we talked about a second ago. So what about your peers? What do they think about you? How would they rate you? That's important to know, right? We have to work alongside these people every single day. And I feel like this is an often overlooked but very important aspect of our behavior in the salon. The kind of team member we are says a lot about us. And I do feel like that bleeds into your client care, both good and bad. Again, they're seeing you through even a different lens than your client. So this is an additional perspective. This can be very valuable, especially in the beginning. No one's asking you to take this information and completely change who you are. Hopefully, you've created a brand for yourself that supports your evolution as a stylist so that when you do change and level things up or make shifts, it's seen as normal. My brand is big on education, so that means I'm always learning. So this doesn't have to mean a new certification. Sometimes you just need to sign up for a class at the School of Life, right? Knowing what your clients and other professionals think about you matters, so when they speak, make sure you're listening.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Aspiring Stylist Podcast with Tracy Franklin. If you enjoyed listening and you want to hear more, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. The Aspiring Stylist Podcast with Tracy Franklin is a Morgan Franklin production. Today's episode was written and produced by Morgan Franklin. Editing and post-production by Mike Franklin. Want to find out more about Tracy and the Aspiring Barber and Beauty Academy? Go to aspirebarberandbeauty.com.